यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. So,
Hare Krishna.
We read this verse from the Manusmriti Maharaj that as soon as one takes birth in this material world, one is immediately under the six kinds of rina or deaths, such as Devarina, Pitrarina, Mitrarina, Rishirina, Bhutarina, and Naranrina. One is held responsible to fulfill them. Gopal Bhatta Goswami comments, in refutation, this statement does not apply to any person of any status inside or outside of Varnashrama who has been initiated with Vaishnava name and mantra by a bona fide guru. For as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.41, Devarshi Bhutaptan Rinam Pitrinam Akinkaro Nayam Rinicharajan Sarvatmaya yaksa sharanam saranyam gato mukundam parihritya kartam. Anyone who has given up all other activities in deference to surrender to Mukunda, most worthy of surrender, has no debt to the rishis, devatas, bhutas, pitris, relatives or other human beings. He is not obliged to serve them. Any human being taking initiation in the name and mantra of the Supreme Lord according to Pancha Samskara from an authorized guru, according to instructions on the highest principles of worship of the Lord, attains steady intelligence and becomes situated in regular worship of the Lord. By this, he becomes peerless. He therefore rejects the daily, periodic and specialized actions for worldly people as taught in the Vedas, Smritis and Puranas. As a person overcome by false ego thinks himself the doer, the devotee avoids that danger by avoiding these actions. Mukunda is the only worshipable person, the one and only object of hearing, chanting, service and prayer. All other worship being temporary is useless. Worship of Mukunda alone purifies the heart. The devotee therefore rejects all other actions completely. Neither within nor outside the universe is anyone worthy of surrender to except Mukunda. That person who from the time of initiation sells himself to the Lord and makes him his life and soul becomes freed from the bondage of the material world by the grace of Mukunda, the giver of liberation. He serves the Lord perfectly and avoids service to any other Devata, Devarshi, Maharshi, Rajarshi, any moving or non-moving entity. He does not serve wife, daughters, sons or grandsons, brothers, relatives or any other person. He is not the debtor to any Pitri or any secondary Devata. O King Parikshit, please hear the meaning of the word Kinkara and Rini. If a person worships a Devata with Tharpanas, etc., he becomes a servant of Devata. If the person neglects to perform tarpanas to the rishis, if he does not satisfy all living beings with water and food, if he does not supply proper food to his wife and offsprings, if he does not perform the samskaras for his family members, if he does not serve unexpected guests, if he does not serve his father while alive, and perform his father's Shraddha rites after he dies, is considered a debtor or Rini. But if he performs all these actions to become their servant, Kinkara. Those who worship the Devatas and Pitris go to Swarga and other places. But as these are temporary designations, they finally return to the earth planet. This is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 9.25. Yanti Deva Vrata Devam Pitranyanti Pitrivata Bhutaniyanti Bhuteja Yantivat Yantimad Yajanopima. The worshippers of the Devatas go to the planet of the Devatas. The worshippers of Pitris go to the planet of the Pitris. The worshippers of the Bhutas go to the Bhutas. Those who worship me come to me. I think Prabhupada's purport on that. Those who have devotion.
Okay, go ahead. Yes. Okay, so this is Uddaliki by Prabhupada.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Those who have devotion to the demigods like Brahma and Indra attain their particular planets by worshipping them, chanting their mantras, doing sacrifices, offering oblations, etc. After leaving that body, they return to the earth planet. Such persons who turn their focus away from my devotional service. Oh, I think this is. Okay. Such persons who turn their focus away from my devotional service even leave the service of their worshipable demigods. After some time, they accept another demigod and ultimately perform hundreds and thousands of condemnable activities. Being bewildered by my external energy, they take birth in 84 lakh species of life again and again until the devastation of the world. Of this, there is no doubt. I don't think that's Prabhupada Maharaj. I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Somebody commented on that first.
Oh, okay.
And then it continues the introduction. My devotee.
Okay, but it's on the same point or it's going to the next point?
I think it's going next point, Maharaj.
Okay, so just on there, as we discussed before, that these debts are there. It's not that they're not there. But for the devotee, then he doesn't have those debts because he's worshiping the Lord. He's taken initiation, he's surrendered. So that doesn't mean that now he can be lazy in the service of the Lord. He has to be engaged in the service of the Lord. The idea is the living entity is supposed to be engaged in the Lord's service. They leave that service to come to the material world. So in the material world, then one is just going to do whatever one wants. And then everybody, if there's no rules, if there's no correction, if there's no, you know, punishment, if there's none of these things, people will just rage against each other, fight, kill each other, and take whatever they want. And it'll just be completely, like a jungle. Therefore, then human life is regulated where they have to regulate the life to try to elevate themselves. Now, elevate means you're going towards Krishna, though you may not have the idea of serving Krishna, but at least you're going in that direction. And then by going in that direction, at some point by the association of the devotees, one might turn around and see Krishna. Then one is inspired. One is spontaneously wants to serve Krishna. But otherwise, one has one's back towards Krishna, the other one's going in the direction towards Krishna. And so one's elevating oneself. And so the platform is easier to function from. If you're working within Varnashram, you're living a pious lifestyle, you're regulating yourself according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then it makes it so much easier when you come in contact with the Vaishnavas because you're already living the lifestyle. Now there's a religion you're already practicing. You just don't understand fully the philosophy. And so, therefore, it's recommended because you're moving. At least they're practicing that kind of thing. So then these six debts, then you're going to, have to perform activities to take care of that. So you can't just be lazy and just be self-centered. And so in that way, they're trying to elevate the living entity. though it doesn't actually have a permanent effect, because on the material platform, nothing's permanent. So only if you worship Krishna, then that's a permanent effect, because you can get out of the material world. The other one, yes, it's like permanent means you stay for longer, but it doesn't have any good effect. So once you take shelter of Krishna, then the debts to the demigods and the sages and all that isn't there anymore. But now it's to Krishna. So Krishna means that you're respecting the acharyas, you're hearing from them, you're respecting the Vaishnavas, you're worshiping them. One has those who are close, you know, are friends in Krishna consciousness, you're serving them. Like this, you know, you're trying to help all living entities become Krishna conscious. You know, so in this way, all those debts are taken care of because of its relationship to Krishna, because Krishna is actually the origin of all this. And so it's he who is actually supposed to be worshipped. People make the mistake and think it's these others, the demigods and others, but actually it's Krishna. And so therefore, then for the devotee, then all these things are done in the context of Krishna. They do everything to try to, you know, like that verse, don't become a mother, a father, you know, a teacher, guru, a king, you know, if you can't, you can't save your dependents from death. So point is you're trying to engage them in Krishna's service. So you're doing it because of pleasing Krishna, rather than doing it because it's a debt you owe in the material energy. And if you do it, do those things, you get good material credit or piety. And if you don't, then you won't. So one leaves that material platform and sees everything in relationship with Krishna. And so that then should be the inspiration. But it's not a strong position if one has taken surrender to Krishna, taken initiation. One is not therefore needing to follow the direction of worshiping the demigods and all these others, but one is not actually nicely worshiping Krishna. It's a weak position. So one won't move forward as quickly as one could. But the solution is not to go back to the demigod worship and all that. No, once you've taken initiation, you don't have to do that. You're not supposed to do that. You don't have the adhikar for it. In other words, you have to be a materialist to have the adhikar for those six debts. But once you have that faith and take up Krishna consciousness, you don't have the adhikar for it. Now your adhikar is for devotional service. So therefore, if there's any weakness, no, become inspired in good association, take up devotional service. So the point is that one must make endeavor. One must move forward. And so therefore, then one is always then for Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnava. That is where you're putting your effort. That's where you see your values. And is that good? Wow, Charuji made it. Okay, cool.
Yes, Maharaj. I think it's just continuing also now.
Okay.
My devotees serve their fathers with devotion while they are alive, and after their death, offer Mahaprasad and Charanamrit. They feed the Brahmanas and especially the Vaishnavas. Others, however, serve their fathers faithfully while alive, and after death, feed everyone situated in Varna and Ashram. Being averse to my devotional service, they engage in Shraddha and Tarpana rituals. Such persons are called Pitrivrata. And as a result, they attain the Pitriloka, or the planet where the ancestors live. And those who worship the forms of Bhutas, Pretas, Pichachas, Vinayakas, Matris, Dakinis, Sakinis, Yoginis, the protectors of the direction, Karabandhas, Bhairavas, and the inferior Devatas, are all called the worshippers of Bhutas. They attain the respective places of the Bhutas. But my devotees who engage in my devotional service take complete shelter of me after leaving their bodies will attain my eternal abode, where I am always situated in my original form with the ocean of bliss, like a beautiful dark rain cloud, eternal, imperishable, full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The purport is that I am only attainable by those devotees who are completely surrendered unto me, not by those who have mixed their devotion by worshipping many other demigods. Therefore, my devotees, being my servitors, attain my supreme abode and continue their service unto me. Of this, there is no doubt. So, till now, he has given proof from Vishnu Yamala and then I think Manusmriti. Now the third one is Vasishta Samhita.
That's coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, just one comment on there. So we see is that the Vaishnavs, whatever is of value within the Vaishnav culture, then that's going on. Like he said, you know, they're respecting the parents and they're serving, but not because of the debt that they are on the material platform, because of the, you know, serving Krishna and that you take care of, you know, the devotees and all that. So they may be devotees, or if not, then by that association, they might become more favorable. They'll take prasad, they'll hear things about Krishna. So it's not about the debt, it's about pleasing Krishna. And then after they leave, then you don't have to do all those Shraddha rites and everything. You have an assembly, you offer prasad like that and Charanamrita and have a kirtan and Hari Bol. You know, it's done. And so then it's functioning within the context of the Vaishnava culture. So it's not based on the worship of the demigods and the forefathers and these kind of aspects. And so therefore, then one's allegiance is to Krishna and the devotees. Yes? No?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. So then, yeah, so we can continue.
Vishnu Vasishta Samhita. Another evidence forbidding worship of Pitris and Devatas is found in the Vasishta Samhita. A householder Vaishnava should not perform any fruitive activities prescribed on a daily or periodic basis, those arising from personal desire, charities or vows that are in connection with either the worship of the demigods or the worship of the ancestors by Shraddha and Tarpana. Comment. Daiva Karma means worship of Devatas. Paitra means worship of Pitris through Shraddha and Tarpana. What to speak of Brahmacharis and others? Even the Grihasthas who are initiated by a bona fide spiritual master with Vaishnava mantra, being under the complete shelter of the Lord, must never do any rites apart from the worship of Lord Vishnu.
Yes, so it's very clear here. Just the point is that demigods aren't worshipped on any platform. So it's just not done. You know, one only worships Vishnu. And so it's just Vaishnavas don't do it. It's considered offensive. You know, they may say, we don't want to ask Krishna for this or that. But the point is the demigod has to ask anyway. So you don't ask, you get a demigod to ask for you. So why didn't you just go directly? You know, it's not proper. Because then you're seeing is that that's the way to get something. So you're still just as materialistic. But it's just that now you don't deal directly with Krishna. But at the same time, having taken initiation in the Vaishnava line, one is then connected to Krishna and has that relationship to interact with Krishna. And one's not taking it. So then what's the point of the initiation? So the thing is we respect demigods, you know, because they're the servants of the Lord, but we are under no obligation to worship them. Yes, please.
Another quotation forbidding Deva and Pritri Vratship. As stated in Rudra Yamala, if a devotee of Lord Vishnu worships any other demigod, even in his mind, he falls down because of this offense. Comment. The word Itaresham means other than Lord Vishnu, such as Ganesha. Manasa means simply by mind, without doing avahana, visarjana, etc. And the word cha indicates also Nitya Naimitika Kamya actions and honoring the ancestors. What to speak of anything else? Even if a devotee of Lord Vishnu does the activities out of illusion, bewilderment or carelessness, he falls down because of committing seva aparad and nam aparad, offenses to the service and holy name of Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. What happens? One who is bound with the ropes of such material activities sometimes goes to the heavenly planets and sometimes goes down to the lower planets. That is his position.
Yes, so that's, you see, is that if one maintains these material desires, then that's what, that's the position that one goes to, is the heavenly planets. Here is if one is, you know, keeping within regulation and all that, and one's maintaining that kind of devotional mood and all that, then one can go to the heavenly planets, you know, where then he'll be, whichever is the particular type of enjoyment that he's distracted by, then that's the facility he'll get in the heavenly planets. And then when that's done, then he'll come back and take birth, you know, within the earthly realm, within a, you know, religious or, you know, wealthy, pious kind of family. Or as it mentions here, then he's saying even the lower planets. So that would mean as if he kind of turns away from that direct devotional activity, and he's more just looking at, you know, good activity, what's right, and according to their definitions and all that, then he can risk going down to the lower planets. Not that you don't find sometimes devotees there, like Prahlad Maharaj is there. But the point is that the facility there is then it's you're surrounded by people who are there because of materialism. Though they're pious, but it's materialistic. There's nothing else. The high heavenly planets, they're materialistic, but at least they're devotees. They're neophyte devotees. So there's that. So the neophyte we see is here comes in as that aspect. Neophytes defined is that they may have maintaining either knowingly or unknowingly. You know, sometimes it's just by habit, but ideas that there's other things that are very important besides devotional service, and that devotional service only by these things will go better. Only when we have, you know, certain facilities or money or position or respect or, you know, whatever it is, then devotional service will go nicely. When no, devotional service is independent. So that's why they end up on the heavenly planets, because if they have Dridha Shraddha, they know that it's only Krishna, and they'll only worship Krishna, so they're not going to be engaged in any of these worships of the demigods or any other process other than, you know, endeavoring for pure devotional service. So that's why they would go there, and that's why the heavenly planets is filled full of neophyte devotees. It's those who haven't come to the point of Dridha Shraddha. That's why it's so important to come to that point and have that full faith that no, only by pure devotional service. We may not be pure devotees, but we're committed to the fact that this is what works. This is the actual standard. And so we endeavor for that, even though we may not be perfect at it, but at least one has that pure faith, one is fixed in it. And then with time, that taste develops, the attachment. And so naturally then one just naturally comes to that spontaneous program, that platform, and then everything goes very smoothly. So one has to avoid being, you know, devotee and all that, and doing all the nice things and all that, but maintaining these material attachments, because it can take you that way, especially if you get into these things with demigods. And if you're not into, may not be, but you're not into, you know, the Vaishnava culture, the Vedic culture, the directions of the, you know, the cultural activities of the spiritual master gives, you know, like Prabhupada's giving in the Acharyas, and one maintains one's own mundane, you know, ideas of culture and religion and all those things, especially if you're once opposed to the Vaishnavas and their following of it, then that can lead to taking, you know, birth there on the lower heavenly planets. So it says you go to the heavenly planets, but here then the Acharya is pointing out it can be either the higher ones with the demigods or the lower planets, you know, where the demons are. And depending upon on the mood and all that, then one might take birth in families of those who are also of similar kind of devotional. So then it won't be as bad. Or if one's really opposed to the Vaishnavas and really goes for it, then definitely, you know, one would be in a more materialistic situation. So we can see is that when you're dealing with the universal management and laws and all that, these are made by Krishna. This is the way it is. So we can say, yes, but we're devotees. Then yes, then we act like devotees. So we're trying to chant. We're not worshiping demigods. We're trying to surrender to Krishna. We may not be very good at it, but the point is yes, then in that way, Krishna is taken care of. And one doesn't have necessarily all these difficulties. But one can't neglect the worship of Krishna, take up other things or have other mentalities and expect not that it's not going to have any effect. Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj. Also, one thing, like sometimes some devotees, they kind of question, oh, this particular devotee is chanting 16 rounds, but at the same time, you know, why certain wrong things are happening. I'm saying more in connection with if I had the case that somebody was attacked by a ghost and he was a devotee.
Later,
it was found out when that devotee was taken to some, you know, astrologer or somebody who, like, you know, is expert at, that he's offering these oblations to other demigods also, even after taking up the devotional service. And that person pointed out because of that fault or that offense, then he is obliged, like, no, the ghost could attack. Otherwise, it would not have happened.
Yeah, so there's always going to be some, if there's some weakness there, then these things can happen. But the point is we're determined to just be engaged in pure devotional service. And so that's what we're involved in. And these other things, then you have to see is that these mentalities, you know, where we feel bad towards devotees or this or that, you know, criticize, these things aren't going to be helpful for our devotional service. And so therefore, then we have to see is that we avoid that, you know, and the point is, you know, in any case, you're chanting 16 rounds, and so you're taking up the process once initiated, but one has to have that faith and move forward in that. But otherwise, if one's not careful, then one's previous, you know, samskaras and all that may come up, and then they may give some problem. But the point is the example is given why it can happen if we're looking at it, oh, it's not possible, is that here he was doing something wrong, but how these things could be going on. The point is it's like someone's taking a bath. Let's say someone is very, very, you know, dirty, you know, like fell in a mud puddle or whatever it is. They're very nicely dressed. So they go in and into the shower and they start to take a bath, you know, or they're in the bathroom, they're preparing, you know, maybe they're, you know, washing their face, brushing their teeth, or maybe even they're in the shower, they've started washing their face, their back is still muddy. So for us to criticize that their back is muddy, that's not actually intelligent or cultured, because the point is they're in the shower. It's just a matter of time. So therefore, that's why we don't find fault with devotees, because these things come up, they just do. And so therefore, then we just, you know, see, you know, that is the process going on, we move forward. That's all. For us, this is not moving on, they're sitting outside, you know, in a mud puddle, then we tell them, come on, get up, go take a bath and all that. Then you may, you know, encourage. But if they're following the process, then the point is that we just see that it's going on, we encourage, and it goes nicely. So there's no need to find fault or criticize devotees because these things come up. But at the same time, as there's the devotees themselves have to give these things up if they want to move forward nicely. Mm-hmm. So from both sides, then we don't criticize, and they take it seriously and try to move forward. So now, he should see is that, you know, doing these other things, why? What's the benefit? And so you do these other things, then these things can bother you. It's just the way it works, you know, like that. It's not that now I'm a devotee, I do whatever I want and I'll just get good results. And all pious devotional service is not a pious activity that I should get a good result. You know, why is it I'm doing all these things and I'm not, you know, rich and famous and all that, and everybody's, you know, respecting me and all that? Why is it there's difficulties? That's just, no, that's devotional service is not just a pious activity. Isn't that the eighth offense, is that we take it like that and maintain attachments? So the point is that we're trying to be serious about devotional service, and wherever we do see a weakness, then we try to adjust, you know, and things that we do without being conscious of it, then that's in association, then someone can point it out that one's doing something that's not useful, and then one should seriously look at it to see how to go through the correct it.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Mataji had some question.
Yes, Mataji had a question. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, yes, thank you very much. I have a few questions about our interaction with people who worship to the devotees in India, because I have some Indian students, and I'm not sure how to properly interact with them. For example, yesterday I was reading a book written by Govinda. It's a servant of Lord Chaitanya about his travel with Lord Chaitanya, and in this book it was showed that when Lord Chaitanya, sometimes Lord Chaitanya attended the temples of devatas like Durga Devi or Lord Shiva, and he didn't try to convert these followers of these devatas to Krishna consciousness. If they asked, he preached. If they didn't, he didn't try to convert, but also he was very respectful to their faith. And I think was it right that in my classes of philosophy, when I give classes to Indian students, I always try to convert them and to explain them that worshiping to the devatas, it's the lowest level of religion, or we shouldn't do it?
No, it's just about it on the environment. See, there's a slight difference here, because Lord Chaitanya is going to the temple. And so going to the temple, then he's going to have their pujaris and all that, and that they're engaged in worshiping the demigods is better than just being gross materialists, right? At least they're following Shastra, they're respecting, you know, there's an idea of respect of authority and all these kind of things like that. And so then, So like that, and he's going there to see the deity. He hasn't gone to see them, they haven't come to see him, right? So therefore, you deal. If they come up and ask or something, then of course he's going to talk. But if not, he'll just go about what he's doing and go. But you see is that with yourself, they're students, they've come to you for classes, so then you try to point it out, and you just try to see how much they can handle. So if how you're preaching, they're appreciating and all that, then nice. And if you find that sometimes or on certain points or certain individuals, they find it a bit strong, use softer language or point out the benefits of doing it this way as opposed to that way. So in other words, the benefits of worshiping the Lord directly as opposed to the demigods, because that still carries the material things and all the difficulties, while worship of the Lord doesn't, and it gives an eternal result. You know, you just have to see, but they've come to you, so it's not the same. You know, it's just like you said, if they came to him, then he would preach, but they've come to you, so therefore, then you can preach just whatever works for them. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Guru Maharaj. And one more question. Sometimes our students, Indian students, they arrange some programs on Diwali, for example, Durga Puja, and our devotees came to them, and we do kirtan with them, and we give them Krishna prasadam, but they also gave us prasad of their devatas. What should we do with this food?
It means have them pack it or something if they you want like that, and they can take it with you, and then you find somebody who's hungry, you know, the fish in the pond or the birds, or, you know, stick it in a nice place under a bush, and then the ants and others will find it. But it's mentioned, you'll see, I think it'll come up, is that honoring that prasad is also offensive, because the point is they're not worshiping Shaligram first and then offering to the demigod as a devotee. You know, they're just worshiping directly the demigod, and they're not even doing that properly, as it will be discussed. And so, therefore, it's not actually prasad. So, you know, I mean, it's pious that they're kind of doing these things, but it's not very proper. So for them, it may be better But for the devotees, it's not. So therefore, one doesn't you know, eat those remnants.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Okay. Yeah, but they can always pack it and you can take it and then do something with it. But they should know about it. Don't tell them. You know, don't walk out the door and throw it in their bush or feed it to their dog, you know.
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. Anything else? So that was...
No, thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
Should I read, Maharaj?
Please, please.
A Puranic proof forbidding Devata worship. In Padma Purana, it is stated, a Vaishnava is not supposed to do sankalpa, dana, keep material desires, perform atonement or sacrifice, but must perform worship of the Vaishnavas and holy Brahmanas. The servant of Krishna, next verse, the servant of Krishna is always pure. Therefore, he does not need to wear kusha grass as rings.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before in the puja. You take the ring and then you tie a figure eight knot and then you put it on. You know, they put one on each finger when they're doing the yajna. He doesn't have to wear those for purity. They're already pure because they chant.
He has no material desire because Lord Hari is situated with it and without him. A Vaishnava should neither worship demigods nor offer them obeisances, observe, blaspheme, remember or think about them. O godly sage Narada, one who is fully independent on the Lord, should not eat the remnants of food offered to the demigods and should try to avoid the association of those who serve the demigods. These are the verses, Maharaj, and then there is a comment on one of the verses. Because the Lord is the only worshipable object and the only shelter of a Vaishnava, the devotee has no desire for material benefits gained by the performance of Nitya, Naimitika, Kamya Karmas, demigod and Pitru worship, fasting, sacrifice, vows and charity. The meanings of Sankalpa, Dana and Yaga are already explained. Atonement, Prayaschitta, which is undergone for the purpose of counteracting the reactions of four kinds of sinful activities, Mahapataka, Atipataka, Upapataka, Anupataka, is not for the Vaishnavas. The word cha indicates another kind of atonement for the Vaishnava. What is that atonement? One should again accept that name and mantra from one's own spiritual master. If the guru is not present, I mean left his body, one should accept from the guru's wife, son, or god brother, or from any other pure devotee with similar qualities. Thus, becoming exceedingly pure by having accepted the pancha samskaras again, one should offer obeisances to and worship Lord Vishnu by fully engaging in hearing, chanting and remembering the name, form, qualities and pastimes of Lord Vishnu. And then...
Yeah, here it's kind of like the, you know, like you see in the modern kind of thing is that, you know, in that mood that people sometimes married couples and they reconfirm their vows and kind of do a miniature kind of like a marriage ceremony or these kind of things. It's more the sentiment because once it's done, it's accomplished. Once has that connection, but it's just a samskar to, reconfirm one's commitment to these things. But then for us, we can see Prabhupada didn't, implement that or expect that. So if someone had any difficulty or anything like that, they just came back and in the association of Vaishnavas continued forward. So it's not that you lose the connection. It's more for yourself to see yes and get serious and recommit yourself. So, you know, since, yeah, so Prabhupada kept it very simple. Mm-hmm. And we can see as other things, there is no other prayaschitta, there is no other purification for devotees except, you know, surrender to Guru Krishna and the Vaishnavas and the engagement in the practice of devotional service. That's the only thing that purifies. Any other concept of that, as we can see here, is incorrect. So it's technically an improper position, and it's also a misunderstanding or a lack of understanding or even a proper mentality that you think that other things are required to purify. No, the only thing is the holy name, worship of the deity, these five things, living in the Dham, serving the Vaishnavas, hearing Bhagavatam, worshiping Tulsi, worshiping the Dham. These things are what should be focused on. And then one comes to that transcendental and pure platform. Other things, the other ideas and doing these things that people come up from their mental speculation, don't purify anyone. It doesn't purify the people giving the punishment. It doesn't purify the persons getting the punishment. It doesn't purify those who observe or support the punishment. In other words, it doesn't do anything, as we can see for ourselves, that, you know, as devotees do these different punishments and all that, when the time of the punishment ends, then the persons before want it to continue because they consider that they're still the same. So, in other words, they don't know it. They don't understand the process that they're going through. But that means in their own minds that their own punishment, their own atonement that they gave doesn't do anything. That's why they want the atonement to continue, because it doesn't have any potency. And so that means that they and their ideas and their attachments to atonement have no potency. So they have no potency. Their atonements have no potency. Those who have faith in those atonements doesn't have potency. And so therefore we can see a practical just in the day, you know, what's going on today. No one feels that it's done anything. So therefore that's because it hasn't. It has no potency. Only devotional service can purify. So, and that's as opposed to the Vedic ones, where what's recommended for an activity, yes, you get temporarily purified on the outside. It's like the elephant's bath. He takes the bath, he's nice and clean, but then all these things go, he throws dust on himself as soon as he comes out. Because the anartas in the heart remain. They're not purified. And so then, you know, it's just a matter of time. But with these ones that are just made up by the social customs and all that and have no basis in the Vedic principles, those neither purify externally or internally. All it is it's just a sense of retribution. And so that element, it comes up, and it seems that it's very important because the living entities are here because they want to control and enjoy. Another element of control is envy. And so because of envy of other living entities, therefore, then they want to see if anybody does anything wrong or one's in a better position or anything that they don't approve of. They want to see some kind of destruction happen. And so because of that, all they do is contaminate themselves. So this whole process not only doesn't purify anyone, it contaminates people. It contaminates the consciousness. And then we see we're going on to these mundane things. If we start becoming more and more doubtful about the devotional process, we start turning against the Vaishnavas and the devotional process, then we can see, as mentioned here, is that, you know, on a good day, then at the time of death, you might go to the heavenly planets. Otherwise, you may end up in the lower planets. And there are seven planetary systems. So how low you can go, that is depending upon how much the mentality has dropped, how envious one's become. So as we can see here, it's not recommended. It's not recommended at all. So we can see the demigods, that distracts ones there. The atonement, that'll distract one. The charity, because I want to become wealthy or have that kind of sentiment, one get entangled in that. you know, the vows, you know, like fasting and all that, then that will also, as it disturbs the super soul, you know, you're fasting when it's not in connection with him. And so then it's going to be a disturbance. And so one's going to have faith in all these different things other than Krishna consciousness. One will have faith in fasting and in atonements or in charity or in austerities or, you know, worship of the demigods or all these different kinds of secondary religious elements and not have faith in the primary Krishna consciousness. That's going to create obstacles that some point in one's devotional service, one has to address and give up. And so, you know, as recommended by Krishna and the Acharyas, that's now. As soon as you're aware, you should try to overcome it. You know, you begin now. It may take time, but you start the process. But if you don't know about it or ignore it and say it's all right, or we're devotees, or so we're not fanatics, or whatever is our reason, then at some point it will come and you will have to deal with it. So it always has to be dealt with. It's just a matter of time. Is it now or later? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Maharaj. Now, also, this sankalpa, Maharaj, what does that mean? It means
it's a sankalpa. It means always remember that these origins of things all come from the spiritual world. They're reflected here. But in the spiritual world, they're only there as much as they are in service to Krishna, that they add to the pastimes of Krishna, you know, like respect of the elders and like that. It adds to the pastimes. But here, then it's not enough, you know, because they're not connecting it to Krishna. So they have to indirectly connect it to Krishna by therefore worshiping Krishna as, you know, the potencies of Krishna indirectly as the demigods, the forefathers and the sages and the Buddhas and the family and general, you know, how you say human beings and all those things. And so therefore all these added rituals get added onto it because it's not complete, you know, like that. And so, you know, it would be just like, let's say I have a meal and it's a full meal. It's a feast. So it has all the different preparations. And so let's say I have you know, within that there's some pakoras, and I just eat them. You know, there's a place to put them. They go with the dal or this or that, or eat them with the chutney, and I just eat and I'm good. It just is a natural flow. It's part of the meal. So I'm talking about the nice meal like that, you know. But now let's say I only have a little leaf cup with two pakoras in it, and I'm really hungry, right? So therefore, you know, let's say that, you know, your friends are there. So they have to do something. The friends have to do something, get together, get it all there, sit around, get the drinks, laugh, make jokes. They have to do more because it's only two pakoras. That's it. You know, harass each other, talk about stealing. You know, there has to be something more that's going on. Otherwise, it's not complete. So they add on these different things. And so for the devotees, then the sankalpa means you're committed and to fixed in devotional service to Krishna. That's sankalpa. So therefore, the sankalpa for devotees is only that which is more about serving Krishna. But this sankalpa that they're talking about is the reflection of the original sankalpa, in which it's about the sankalpa to be determined for a certain karma kanda. You know, either nitya or nainmittik or kamyaka effort. So that's what it is. It doesn't mean that, you know, when we're doing the sankalpa, that now we're going to do this yajna mm-hmm. for Krishna's pleasure. It's not talking about that. We have to be, I mean, much of the time that's how people take it. But the point is that, no, it's about that it's separate from Krishna, that itself has potency. No. It's worship of Krishna as potency, so the sankalpa only gives us that dedication to Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, just like if we feel, okay, you know, I've done something wrong, I should try to please Krishna, so we try to do more service for Krishna, be more serious, you know, like that for Krishna. It's not atonement. It's just dedication to devotional service. But the other we think is that by, let's say, fasting or staying up or that, that itself is going to purify. No, it's here is that by engaging more in service, that will purify. That's what's going to give you, that's going to give the benefit. So it's the devotional service that's giving the effect, not the fasting and all the other things. Those are just supportive. Those are supportive elements. Like we fast on special days, you know, but that's so we can engage more in Krishna service, and they take it. It's special. So therefore we try to chant more, or read more, associate more, do more service. That's the whole idea. That's what's going to purify. Not that we're fasting, but we're fasting for Krishna as a service. That's going to give us benefit, but it's this fasting itself is not where the benefit is. It's in the devotional service that we're doing it. That's what the benefit is. You know, the acharyas are recommended, therefore we want to please Krishna by pleasing the acharyas. And so that's the devotional service, not that the fasting is what's doing it. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah, so then you're not, doesn't have to worry is that if we, you know, in the technical pujas or yajna, there's a sankalpa, that's just to be more fixed than devotional service. So that's not what it's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, Maharaj, we see in South, when you are performing a yajna like that, during the sankalpa, at the time they give you a thread to wear so that you are determined to be present for the whole yajna, because generally it's like goes for 3 hours like that.
Means one of these threads.
Yes.
Yeah, because when you wear that for the thing, you have to be focused on that and be following the rules. You can't break the four wheeling principles and stuff like that that time. You know, that's the idea. Is otherwise, then during that time, then, you know, it's like you have the wedding ceremony and then, you know, you have the meat and the alcohol. But that means they're breaking the vrata. It should be, you know, during the whole ceremony that's all being done, none of this can go on. Mm-hmm. If they want a really proper benefit for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ideally in marriage ceremony, the people who are participating in the ceremony, they don't even have to, they shouldn't even touch, even in regular karmakandi. Others, they do.
Yeah, no, it's just that's the whole idea. So before it would be so many people would be involved and what are they called?
Kankana.
Yeah, that's there. And there's also, yeah, we use another name for the ceremony. I was thinking the ceremony. But yeah, so it's kankana or whatever it is. That then you see the priests are wearing and maybe that, you know, the, like say in this case, bride and groom, maybe the parents are wearing, you know, anyone else will take part as part of the thing they'll wear. And that's one, is it special? So they get that special position and that, you know, that respect and facility. But at the same time, it's along with that comes the vrata to be very careful about all these things that they want to benefit. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're doing is only for the men. We do these things just to please Krishna. So therefore, we also do the put the threads, like let's say we're installing the deities. So those who are the priests and those who are going to be directly involved, let's say like the temple president or, you know, the head pujari of the temple there or any other devotees that will be involved, then they get the thread. Just means they should be a little bit more careful and ready to do service, you know, and more focused. Not that they, you know, after the yajna, they go to sleep and don't come back in the evening when we do the other things or stuff like that. So they would, you know, they're on call and they're there for doing everything. And so then we also use it, but it's to be focused more on serving Krishna. So it's not focused on the material benefit you'll get. So that's why is that we have to remember is that all these ceremonies and all these different rituals all come from the spiritual platform, mm-hmm. you know, for pleasing Krishna. And then they come into the material world, they're reflected. And so much of it stays the same, but then sometimes you have to add extra details because it's not complete in itself. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj, got it.
Yeah.
Maharaj, we have only a couple of minutes and I wanted to ask about continuing.
Okay, yes.
From other devotees, how long we should continue this class.
Yes. Because, I mean, here it is, because Jagadish Prabhu and Jugala Preeti will head out, I think tomorrow.
Only Prabhu will be going.
Only Mataji. He's going. Mataji is staying. Okay. Well,
I
then, if know. That's the case, so, and Charoji?
I'm staying. Okay. I'm staying. Okay. Only Prabhu goes.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Just to make sure. Sorry, internet
okay.
is bad. Yeah.
Okay. 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 So then, and Charoji, this coming on like this at this time is working for you?
Yeah, now it is. Last week it didn't work because I didn't catch up to the time zone yet, but okay. It should be okay from now on until I go to Kentucky, and then I won't have, but I don't know when I'm going yet, so I can
okay
go for some time.
Okay, okay. And Ananda Vrindavan Mataji, then yourself?
Guru Maharaj, from tomorrow, some devotees will come to Mayapur and they will live in our flat. And that's why I will listen classes from roof. I hope I will be able to ask some questions.
Okay.
I don't know about internet connections.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
For me, it's I'll be available up till March 10th, Maharaj. After that, the ceremony start here. So from 13th, the next Monday, then I have to be part as a student. So I'll be.
Okay. So this week.
And next week.
So two more weeks. Okay. So then we can review it again then. But, you know, but at least we can go that much this week and next week to see how far we can get. Is everybody good with that?
Yes.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so then we'll try like that. Okay, thank you. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Shri Prabhupada.